From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Scientists, emergency managers, and Juneau residents are bracing for an event at the Mendenhall Glacier that could flood a nearby lake and river again. As KTOO's Matt Miller reports, the now yearly phenomena is caused by climate change.
The important vocabulary word for this story is Yokolop, spelled with a J and an O with an umlaut or two dots over it. Yokolop. It's Icelandic for glacial dam release or flood.
Well, the famous examples are from Iceland, where they have really massive outburst floods. And those are geothermally driven. So you have a glacier sitting on a volcano and you get this sort of subglacial lake sitting there. And then that can drain catastrophically. That's definitely affected their road system, knocked out some pretty big bridges.
Jason Abmondson studies and teaches about glaciers at the University of Alaska Southeast. Abmondson says Yokolops in Alaska and off the Mendenhall Glacier happen a little differently. Ice melt and rainfall accumulate every summer in Suicide Basin, a gigantic bowl or round valley adjacent to the glacier about 2 miles up. It was carved out of the granite by a much smaller glacier, which retreated in the last few decades because of climate change. So much water builds up in the basin that the side of the Mendenhall Glacier starts floating. The water's immense pressure also creates cracks in the ice called conduits.
The water starts melting the conduit bigger and bigger. So as the water flows through, it's just the discharge is low, but as it's flowing, it melts the channel and the channel gets bigger, which makes the discharge get bigger, which makes the melt rate higher. And so you get this rapid growth.
All that water dumps into Mendenhall Lake and Mendenhall River in a matter of hours. Abmondson says there are other glaciers around Alaska that have similar releases. Previous flooding in Juneau has covered a road, inundated a campground, damaged at least one house, and eroded the riverbank backyards of other homes. That's why Jamie Pierce of the U.S. Geological Survey attached monitoring equipment to the high-angle rock walls of Suicide Basin in 2012.
Worked for a couple years, but the ice just sheared the cable. I didn't think the ice would cream it, but it did. It kind of showed the power of this stuff. I mean, really.
New underwater instruments without the metal cabling were installed last year. That data is shared with researchers and other agencies so they can warn the public. Aaron Jacobs, a hydrologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau, says they've documented yokolops on the Mendenhall every year since 2011.
Typically see 1 to 2 a year, but there's been years where we've seen multiple glacier dam releases, but on much smaller magnitudinal size.
All of the water used to flow out of Suicide Basin under or through the glacier, but scientists have noticed something new. The side of the glacier, which acts as a giant ice dam, is thinning and getting lower because of climate change. Water spilled over that ice dam for the first time last year. Then scientists noticed in mid-July this year that the basin's rising water caused a portion of that ice dam to calve or break off.
It pushed a whole bunch more ice into the basin and made for some very huge monster icebergs.
Water is already spilling over the ice dam, and the lake below the glacier is already approaching flood stage from rainwater. The big yokolop could happen any time. Since the glacier, the basin, and the amount of water inside are constantly changing, scientists say it's tricky to predict how big the flood will be this time. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Over the last few months, cities, boroughs, and communities across Alaska have received over $300 million in federal coronavirus relief, but the funding comes with significant strings attached. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry talked to leaders in some of Southeast Alaska's smallest communities about the unforeseen challenges of using that federal aid.
In mid-July, Ingoon would normally be bustling with boats. Charters usually collect tourists to go fishing in Chatham Strait or to stay at remote lodges. But not this year, says Ingoon Mayor Joshua Bowen.
Right now, it's very, very quiet in Ingoon.
Little to no tourism, thanks to the coronavirus, has had profound economic impacts on the Admiralty Island village of around 450 people. Lodges aren't opening, the city is missing out on sales tax revenue, and getting stuff in and out, especially with a lighter ferry schedule this summer, has become more expensive, too.
It's not our fault. We're just here, and now everything that's happening around us and around the world is increasing costs for us in the village, which are already high enough. And that paired with the lack of what are normally around jobs, it's definitely causing some hardship.
But CARES Act funds are providing some relief. The city of Angoon has spent about a quarter of the $220,000 they've received from the program so far. The town distributed $50 store credits and $100 energy credits to each household. They also helped support a school food program, made and distributed masks to all local residents, and purchased laptops for city council members to work remotely. Angoon has lots of ideas for the remaining funds, which could include an extra $22,000 if they need it. But a big one is hiring a dedicated employee to help coordinate CARES Act spending. That person would submit required monthly expenditure reports to the state and make sure that they're spending the money appropriately. Expenditures that don't follow federal guidance have to be paid back. Lynn Keneally is a local government specialist for the Alaska Division of Community and Regional Affairs, the state agency in charge of distributing the federal funds to local entities.
We suggest that communities take care when choosing their expenses, as each community is responsible for assessing what is allowable and may have to return the money if it's misspent.
She says they have helped communities brainstorm, but they can't be the final decision makers. According to federal guidance, the money can be used to cover, quote, necessary expenditures incurred due to the COVID-19 public health emergency. Nearly 90 Alaskan communities eligible for funding haven't accepted it yet, leaving around $40 million allocated for them on the table. That's according to the most recent data from the state. At the local level, figuring out how those funds can be used hasn't been easy.
The state was kind of vague on some things, on what can be used as far as expenditures and everything.
Jessica Adams is the city treasurer in the Chichagof Island community of Pelican.
This is my first time dealing with anything like this. So mainly for me, it was just how to go about doing the reports and how often they needed them, what all they needed from us.
Thankfully, Adams says the Alaska Municipal League hired an employee to help answer their questions. The nonprofit provides resources and support to local governments. Like Angoon, Pelican relies heavily on summer tourism, and they've been hurting economically this summer, too. But, Adams says, the town has focused its spending more on health and safety measures. The local clinic has been unstaffed since March, and their EMS group is all volunteer. They needed the basics, masks, hand sanitizer, and cleaning supplies.
So when they announced that there was going to be CARES Act funding, there was a lot of relief for all of us in here because we knew that we were going to be able to do the necessary things to kind of prepare Pelican for what may be headed.
They're also looking at investing in sanitation services or a cell tower to improve emergency communications. Whether they'll use all the funds is as unknown as when the pandemic will end, but both Pelican and Angoon officials say they feel relief knowing that the money is there. The state is reaching out to any eligible community that hasn't yet accepted the money. This pool of CARES Act funding must be spent by December 30th. For KCAW, I'm Erin McKinstry.
Echo Ranch Bible Camp has canceled all remaining summer camp sessions after two campers were tested for COVID-19. In a Facebook post and message sent to parents, camp staff wrote that two campers had become ill shortly after attending the overnight camp. They wrote that parents of campers who attended at the same time were also being notified. In a phone interview Monday, camp director Randy Alderfer said that they had learned one of the campers received a negative test result, but they were still waiting to hear about the other. Alderfer said even though they still don't have confirmation that COVID-19 was ever present in the camp, they canceled the final two sessions as a preventative measure. The Christian camp next to Point Bridget State Park canceled sessions earlier this year because of the pandemic, but reopened in late June with a mitigation plan approved by the city and borough of Juneau. That plan included extra sanitizing for surfaces and bathroom facilities and staggered meals and chapel services to lower the capacity indoors. It also says that any campers or staff showing signs of illness would be quarantined. The plan did not require campers or staff to wear face masks, but parents could provide one for their child if they wanted them to wear it. Echo Ranch campers attend in age groups ranging from 7 to 9 up to 14 to 18. They stay in cabins with groups of about 10 campers and two counselors. This is KTOO News.